T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
This is a really good football team. The game got away from them last week, which sometimes games tend to do that once in a while. But it's a really good football team. The number one ranked offense in the preseason, and then I think top five, top six overall in the first week of the season. So good challenge.
Obviously, the trust aspect comes in with trusting everybody around you, not trying to do too much, just getting the ball in your playmakers' hands and letting them make plays. And that's what our guys did, you know, going back to Sunday.
You know, it'll be their home opener and against a very good Giants team. And, no one should be sleeping on that team, and we'll be looking forward to their best game, and it'll be a great matchup against a really good team.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm going to tell Sean McDermott to take the preseason pledge. Number one ranked offense in the preseason.
I'm not sure I've ever heard a coach cite a preseason stat getting ready for a regular season
that
game.
That guy that did all the stuff isn't even going to play.
He might.
Yeah, if the Giants get
garbage time.
Right, if the Giants are up or down by 30, he might.
Yeah, maybe he just doesn't have much to say about the Giants at all. He just looks at the film, just like, I don't know what to make of this team.
Yeah, it was funny.
He says there's the number one offense in the preseason, so somebody told him that.
How about that? Like, he
had to pull out a preseason
or he
stat
looked that up.
Did he look that up? Do you think he really would look? Who cares?
Somebody would have said that. How do you find out who's the number one ranked offense in the preseason? Is it just kind of?
I honestly didn't think they actually kept the preseason stats.
Right. Team stats for the preseason. Who led in third down efficiency?
They were, let's see, I'm just looking at the transcript. Really good football team, number one ranked offense in the preseason, and I think top five of top six in the first week of the season. Yeah, I didn't even think they kept those stats because it means nothing, the Hold preseason on. Stats.
I got to see if they were top five offense in the first week.
No, he meant top offense in, I think, five of the six categories, like the different offensive categories that are ranked each week in the NFL stats report.
Oh, in the preseason again?
No. First week of the season. I think top five, top six overall in the first week of the season.
Okay.
I'd have to look
they
at
were
this week's release.
Sixth in yards.
Yeah.
They were.
Probably not top six in points, and they scored 17. There
right,
had to
they
be
weren't,
more teams
they
that
weren't there
more.
In points.
Yeah. They threw for a lot of yards. Like, Eli threw for over 300.
They were seventh in yards per play.
Okay.
How about first downs? They had 25 first downs, which was more than the Bills had, right? Bills didn't have too many first downs. 31 was the league lead. That was Baltimore. The Bills had 23 first downs. The Giants had 25. All right. Third down percentage? He's right so far, by the way.
Giants were good on third down?
Is this how he found out, though? Did he just go to NFL.com?
I'm sure they sent out a release every week, which gives you all the rankings. All he had to do was check it, or someone could have checked it for him, yeah.
Okay, they were not good on third down, the Giants. The Bills were. The Giants, in their opener, were scrolling way down. 30th in third down percentage.
Okay, get him to third down, baby.
There you go. Penalty yards, where they penalized a lot. 182 for the Browns. That's a bit of a downer for
18
them.
Penalties for the Browns in week one. Yeah.
Do you know who had the fewest penalties? I can't resist to do this because...
Who had the fewest penalties?
Who had the fewest penalties in the league?
Somebody, the Dolphins.
It's
kind of open you were going
New
for
England
somebody
Patriots.
Lost big.
No. Not the Patriots. The point is that when you point to penalties as some sort of end-all, be-all, you find that it's not. It tends to be a lot of randomness in there. The Browns had the most penalties, and the fewest was the Chargers and Colts with three.
Ooh,
and I thought I saw
what a
Miami.
Clean game. They played each
right,
other.
Right, yeah. They went to overtime. Each had three. I thought Miami had a low number
figured
of penalties.
Figured you were going to go with a team that lost, for sure lost, to say there's not necessarily a direct correlation to number
right,
of penalties
right.
and result of said game.
Right, exactly. Do you remember which Bills team had the most penalties of the last 10 years
Rex's
or so?
Rex's team?
No. Everyone thinks it was Rex's teams. Was Marone.
Oh, was it Marone?
It was a Marone team.
The disciplinarian?
Yeah. Rex had fewer penalties than Marone's team, but we always talked about Rex's teams being undisciplined. So.
Yes, we did.
Whatever. All right. Well, first, number one ranked offense in the preseason. Well, I'm excited to see it. Big test.
Just stop Saquon Barkley. Really? It's very simple. Eli played okay against Dallas, but let's face it. You look at that offense, and it's one guy that you really have to make sure he doesn't wreck you, and that's Saquon Barkley. So keep him in check. You know, maybe the Giants will help the Bills by not having Barkley touch the ball that often. If they have the same game plan they did in Dallas and he gets less than 20 touches, you don't have to worry as much about Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the Giants will play a key role in stopping their own running back on Sunday. If not, then it's up to the Bills to do that.
Well, it's funny. There's a bit of a thing where you'd say you want to stop Saquon Barkley. I think the Giants are focused in on feeding him because they didn't give him enough last week.
Right.
And I mean, there's a school of thought that feeding Barkley is worse. One stat I saw from the opening week's worth of games. You know, teams usually script, or some teams do, script 15 plays.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to run these 15 plays. Yep. These are our first 15 plays, yada, yada. That 32 teams played, every single team had a successful passing play. Every single team. You know, based on yards to gain or whatever the form. Mm-hmm. I don't follow the formulas. I just follow the people that use them.
Mm-hmm.
Every team had a successful passing play. Not every team had a successful running play.
Really? In the scripted portion of the game?
In the first 15 plays of the game.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to never run the ball? Sure, you don't want to never run the ball. And the Bills came out and passed a lot, and it didn't necessarily work, but it also kind of did work.
It did work.
It kind of shows you that, hey, even if you don't run it, you're not going to pass yourself out of a game.
It did work, yeah.
It did work, right.
Yes, I agree.
So, you know, thinking about run versus pass, last year in the NFL, every single team in the league, every single team had a higher points, expected points added passing than running.
Mm-hmm.
And that would include the Giants.
Yeah.
So if the Giants come out and say, we're going to run it a lot, you should say,
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
I only bring that up because I look at the Giants' weapons. I think it gets down to weapons, too. If you look at the Bills' offense, I think you can make a case they were effective passing the ball in the opener. They didn't run a lot. When they ran Singletary later in the game, he sparked the offense. But we're still talking about Frank Gore had 11 carries for 20 yards, so he wasn't really a factor. Then Devin Singletary ran the ball four times. So they didn't really run the ball to win the game against the New York Jets. I do think it can come down to personnel. I look at the Giants roster because I'm taking into account if Golden Tate was healthy and playing, if Sterling Shepard was healthy and not in concussion protocol, and they have Evan Engram, okay, now you're looking at multiple weapons in the passing game. But you look at the Giants roster now, Tate's out, we know that. We're not sure about Shepard. He didn't practice yesterday. He remains in concussion protocol. After that, and Evan Engram, you're looking at Cody Lattimore. I'm not sure where else they go. So I look at this game. It's not necessarily that I believe, you know, you feed a running back. Hey, Zeke Elliott's really good, but, you know, Dak Prescott threw for 400 yards in their win over the Giants the other day. Good. That was you should attack their secondary. They're not good in terms of pass defense. I look at Barkley because I think where else are they going to win this football game? What other options do you have in terms of your passing offense? You don't have a lot. Your best offensive threat is the running back, who, by the way, can catch the ball as well. They could throw to Saquon Barkley, too. I look at him as their best offensive weapon. So if I'm the Bills, I'm thinking I've got to shut him down. I'm not as concerned about Eli Manning using his weapons outside of Barkley throwing for 300 yards and winning the football game passing on Sunday. I think you if you're the Bills, you worry about Barkley driving that offense, and I would be ganging up on him to stop the run.
Yeah, you load the box and yep. all that. And
make Eli
him,
a quarterback.
Make him beat you. You have to worry about play action, of course.
Yeah,
that remains a very successful way to run an offense, and the Bills didn't run a ton of play action in this game.
Nope.
They run a lot of shotgun, which is one of the reasons that you don't run so much, but you can still run play action out of the shotgun, mm-hmm. of course.
And then, you know, look if you're the Bills, again, going into their plan on Sunday, if it's loaded up and stop Saquon Barkley, okay, if the Giants decide, fine, then we're going to throw the ball. We'll try and pass our way to a victory. I like what I see in the secondary. I think we like the matchups in terms of who the Bills can put out there. Now, whoever's defending Saquon Barkley, it could be an issue, you know, whether it's Tremaine Edmonds, whether it's Matt Milano, maybe they try something different. That can definitely be an issue, but the corners, the safeties against the wide receivers, and actually who they line up against Evan Engram will be key to watch too, because he's a good tight end. He's a good pass-catching weapon. If they have to throw the ball, I like the Bills' pass rush against the Giants' offensive line, and I like the Bills' secondary against the Giants. I just think there are a number of things in this matchup that look favorable to the Bills. The big X factor to me, again, is Saquon Barkley doesn't have like 200 yards from scrimmage on Sunday.
I wouldn't anticipate that he does.
I wouldn't think.
But if he does and you win,
Doesn't matter.
You win.
But that's the number one guy, I think, on the list this week for Leslie Frazier.
I wonder if the Bills will have a mindset of anybody else can beat us. You know, beat us with
Evan
Corey Latimer.
Cody Latimer.
Cody Latimer, not Corey. Sorry. There you go. That's even a better way to say it. Get his name wrong.
I'm trying to remember the other guys in the receiving corps. I can't even – I looked at the depth chart the other day, and I still can't recall those guys. Yes, I would make someone other than Saquon Barkley beat me on Sunday. And I don't think that will happen. But with the – and honestly, on the other side of the thing with the Bills, you know, Singletary – maybe you know, maybe it is the running game. Maybe they lean on that on Sunday with Singletary and Gore. I think more likely they will pass the ball. And this offense is developing multiple weapons. I think the focus is going to be what it was Sunday. It's going to be Brown and Beasley. I think those guys will get a major share of targets. But the nice thing is you still have a guy like Zay Jones. We didn't see Robert Foster at all on Sunday. We didn't see Isaiah McKenzie. I don't even know if he got a touch out of other than special teams. And you have some young tight ends that are developing. So there are some really nice weapons, a multitude of weapons that are developing in the Bills offense, which is great. So now you're looking at maybe different ways the Bills can beat you as opposed to what we've seen in recent years. Not a lot of options for the quarterback. Now you have some, which is very encouraging.
I wonder where the Bills offense ranked in the preseason.
I swear I didn't. I guess I would know they would keep preseason stats, but I don't.
Pro Football Focus probably has it somewhere.
You know what? They did. I remember each week the NFL would send out its preseason stat package, and I would just delete it without opening it because,
right? Because
I'm not sure what else would be more meaningless in the world than checking NFL preseason
they
stats.
They ranked Matt Barkley as like the best quarterback in the NFL during the preseason.
Was he?
I think so. One of the top ones.
I mean, that's just, hey, thanks for the email, NFL. Delete. It's just, it has no bearing at all on the season preseason stats. So let's get to the game Sunday. I'm feeling good.
Hey, there's a game tonight.
You know what I'll watch for tonight? The story coming out of Carolina, the stuff about Cam Newton not throwing deep and not running as much, and people are worried about his shoulder. I got to keep an eye on that tonight, I guess.
Well, you know, hey, could have asked me.
Is he on your – you had him last year. Is he still on your –
the Great White Snarks? He has recently been traded away.
You know, that might have been a good move on
your
part.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I guess there's an issue about him. They didn't throw deep that often on Sunday.
I mean, I don't have any –
insider knowledge.
We're in between quarterbacks, you know. We're one of those. We've got Jameis.
Oh, are you tanking the Great White Snarks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We are not going to make the playoffs. We are not in good shape. We have.
What'd you get for Cam?
We have seven picks in the first three rounds.
You got a first round pick? Or you got
picks
for
part
Cam?
Of the package deal. I got Derek Carr in the deal because Sneaky Joe DiBiase didn't want Derek Carr anymore. And we exchanged some draft picks. But yeah, I was happy to, you know,
unload Cam.
Listen. The Great White Snarks are our family. We always, you know, we wish the best to our brother Cam.
You going out there to win?
Yes. But we respect, you know, all the best to him. He was a competitor for us. He worked hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wish him nothing but the best.
Great White Snarks didn't get a good day from Jameis last week.
No, not so much.
Yeah.
I'll be looking for a bounce back for them.
Yeah.
I wonder about the Bruce Arians. I've been driving the Bruce Arians hype train, but we'll see. I mean, you know, week one is, it's fun. It counts. Week one is a little bit like, I had somebody email me and say, how come you don't have a week one pledge? Because there should be a week one pledge, not to overreact. And right. I do respect that. I do agree with that to a point. I was driving in today thinking like, all right, if you were to cut up the NFL season, I think I would say the first 6 weeks are finding out who's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 6 weeks in, we'll know five teams that we think are really good. And then the next 10 weeks are those teams going for the top four spots. The middle team's going for a wild card, and the five really bad teams that we know they're really bad, we just watch them slog it out through a terrible season.
I think,
right? You pretty much know, how many weeks in do you need to know before you can decide who's who?
Get me through the first month.
4 weeks?
I hit October, and I think we got a pretty good feel on things.
Okay. I think it's closer to six or even eight.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just because of the Bills having gone 5-2 and haven't
good
fallen
starts.
Apart. Right,
right. Right.
And... you know, the last time they made the playoffs, they were 5-2 and then dropped to 5-5, but then got to 9-7. So, you know, how many weeks do you need to know? A month is probably enough.
We should probably do I was trying to think. If you based opinions, like you made definitive opinions based on just week one, you would wake up Monday morning and go, the Cleveland Browns were the most overhyped, incorrectly predicted team in the history of the National Football League. You would declare the Ben Roethlisberger era in Pittsburgh completely over and that the Steelers are going to be a non-factor this year. You would have Lamar Jackson going head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes for the MVP award this year. Trying to think. What else would you factor? Oh, Green Bay Packers, surprise team of 2019 because of the way their defense played against the Chicago Bears. Yeah, if that's why I need, I think I need a month. I think after September, after 4 weeks of football, I'll have a pretty decent idea of what's going on around the league. But after week one, you'd probably think the Tennessee Titans are contenders for the Super Bowl since they went into Cleveland and blew out the Browns. There were some interesting developments, but yeah, it has to continue to play out. I need a month before I actually start thinking I've got a really good handle on who the top teams are, who the dogs are, you know, who's going to be, quote, in the hunt. I need a month to get to that point. Talk to me first week of October. I'll have a little better idea.
We were going through the games yesterday. You know, Bills opponents to watch. Cincinnati. Do you know who Cincinnati? Let me start again. How many teams do you know exactly who they are? Patriots? Dolphins?
Yeah.
How many more would you list? Saints? Saints are
still good. Yeah, okay. Sure.
Definitely good and definitely bad.
And the Chiefs are still really good, even though they still might not have a really good defense, but they didn't last year. So I think I know the Chiefs are going to be a very good team this year.
So we know three good teams. Rams?
Yeah, they're probably a safe
bet. Okay. If it's a probably, we can't take it.
trying to think. All right, let me get back to you on the Rams. I think they'll be fine, but no, I wouldn't put them in the same category as the Patriots and the other teams, and the Saints, the teams that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And the other teams, I think, start to – see, week one is they start to – some teams can start – I don't want to say confirm your suspicions. Like, I think Houston's good. Hey, they went into New Orleans and woulda, coulda, shoulda beat the Saints in the Superdome.
Who are the five worst teams in football?
Well, Miami.
And then?
You know, I think the Lions are going to be in that group.
You might go Arizona. You might go Detroit.
Yeah, Arizona, actually, the way they played in the fourth quarter, you're encouraged for a rookie quarterback to come back from 18 down in the fourth quarter and make some big plays.
Should we throw the Giants in this list, too? Yeah, they're not that great.
I mean, maybe.
They gave up nearly 500 yards to Dallas the other day.
And all their reporters that have been on the station, Jordan Renan, ESPN NFL Nation, Ralph Facchiano, the general consensus from the New York media that covers the Giants is, oh, yeah, this team's no good.
Yeah, really,
like,
really.
Oh, this, yeah. They have nobody on defense. This team is no good.
Right.
They lack organizational direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is no good.
Boy, I'm trying to think who else. I think Denver will end up being in the bottom five.
I like that answer. Denver. The Bills, by the way, have four games against these teams so far.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Right, Miami twice, the Giants, Denver.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't know what to think about Washington. Funny, off of week one. Like, I thought Washington is going to be one of the worst teams in the league, and they jump out to a 17-0 lead in Philadelphia and then blow the lead.
You think they finish ahead of the Giants?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I think the Giants, if the Giants' defense is as bad as everybody's telling us, they'll finish last in that division. And at some point, you know, as Ralph said, Ralph Facchiano from SNY said to us yesterday, from what he understands, the plan is as soon as the Giants realize the season's over,
I don't know
if that's mathematical or not. Right. Daniel Jones, you're going in and playing. So
before Halloween?
Could be midway point, right. So I think the Giants will be the last place team in that division. They just apparently can't really stop anybody.
The Giants, after this game, will play the Bucks, Washington, Minnesota, the Patriots, the Cardinals. That's their first set of seven games, the one and then the Bills in those five. So when does Daniel Jones go in?
Yeah,
before Halloween for sure. Right?
Yeah, it might be if they get off to
they're going
to
lose
one in five.
We think they're going to lose to the Bills. They'll lose to the Patriots.
Maybe they beat the Bucks
and the Vikings. That's on the road, but maybe
big game with Washington.
Big game with Washington
for third place in the NFC East.
So we got three or four.
You know, yeah, in terms of bottoms,
bottom five.
I put Denver in there.
Denver.
Nobody in the AFC North. We already have the Dolphins in there. You know, I thought Brissett and the Colts played better than I thought they were going to look against the Chargers on Sunday, so I wouldn't put them in there. And, boy, I wouldn't put Jacksonville in there. So that leaves me some. Who are we forgetting from the NFC? I got the Lions.
The 49ers.
Anybody from the South? Tampa?
Tampa might be bad.
No, I don't think the 49ers are bottom five. I guess I might put Tampa would be the only other team I'd put in there. But and I think Detroit, when all is said and done, they'll be last in that division, and they have a good shot at, you know, the way things collapsed for them. They look good, for the first two or three quarters. Stafford's having a nice day. Hockenson looks like a really good weapon, the rookie tight end, and then all of a sudden, kablooey. And I'm not a huge fan of their head coach either, who I thought played conservatively, coached conservatively the other day. So I would put Detroit in the bottom five this year. Maybe we got to five. I think we just did. So that's about it.
I like it. Yeah. I like your list.
Yeah, and where do the Bills fit? You know, I was looking at power rankings that came out this week, NFL.com's power rankings. Where do you think they put the Bills after week one?
23rd?
A little higher. They were actually 23rd going into the season.
Okay, 22nd?
They jumped up to 17th.
Oh, nice.
So I'm still trying to figure out, you know, to your point about how many weeks do you need, I certainly don't have the Bills figured out yet. And quite honestly, I don't think Sunday is going to really help me that much. The bigger tests come after Sunday. The next three games after that, Cincinnati at home, and then for sure, the back-to-back games with New England and in Nashville against Tennessee. That I still can't tell you where the Bills fit. I'm going to need a few more weeks to identify. I think that, you know, the defense looks great. What's the offense going to do? What's the identity of the offense? How good can that be? I need a few more weeks to develop that, so I couldn't tell you where the Bills fit at this point. Can't overreact to week one and tell you they're going to the Super Bowl just yet.
I'd like to talk about this California pay-to-play thing.
Okay.
What's the we'll get to a break here, but what's the downside? They're not being paid to play.
Yeah, I don't.
This is not, if you think they're getting a college education, okay, they are. Their college is not paying them.
How's this for a downside?
So I welcome anyone to try and tell me what the downside is.
This is the best thing I've come up with so far off the cuff, okay? It isn't a have and have not, because like you said, this is not coming out of collegiate budgets.
Right.
It is advertisers, whatever. It is someone paying the athlete to use their likeness, okay? So how about the more high-profile programs will have a better opportunity for these athletes to make endorsements?
Already exists.
So you'll funnel those guys to the higher-profile programs.
Already exists.
Well, they don't get money for
the better players already go to those programs.
Could it make it even more difficult for the lower teams to get guys?
There are a finite number of spots. That already happens. The best players go to Alabama, Clemson, right? If you're talking football. Where do they go in college basketball? They go to Duke, North Carolina. We know who the haves are and the have-nots.
Michigan State, too.
Michigan State. All right, next.
That's the
Think
best
about
thing
it.
I could, that's the first thing that came to my mind. Is there any way this develops more of a separation?
Well,
in
what
FBS.
This does is this will send athletes to the state of California.
Well, if nobody else follows
right.
suit.
All of a yeah. sudden, you might go to USC Irvine.
Yeah. Cal Irvine.
Why did I say Cal Irvine? Not,
yeah, Cal Irvine.
So go over there.
You'd want to be an anteater.
Right. There's Cal Irvine.
Yeah, there's just USC.
Cal Fullerton.
Uh-huh.
Cal
Poly Pomona.
Sure, all of them. You'd start going there.
Because you make extra money.
Because you can be paid.
Well, if California passes this and the NCAA doesn't do anything, the other states they're going to follow suit.
It passed 73-0.
Right, there was no.
And now the governor just has to sign off on it. Yeah. And I'm not sure when that happens. But imagine if something passes 73-0, he kind of has to.
Can you imagine, like, the Alabamas and the Ohio states and the Clemsons of the world saying, hey, to their politicians in their state,
yep.
Hey, just so you know, California,
North Carolina,
athletes can make money out there now.
North Carolina's already started drawing up the legislation.
Really?
That's it.
Wow.
It's over.
Well, the thing is, this is really beyond the NCAA. There's not a lot. Like, who was on before
they can't tell
today?
The state of California how to govern.
No, the guy who was on before said it was Jason Fitz.
Jason Fitz. He says what the NCAA wants to try to do is say, you can't come to our national championships.
Right. But
to which California would say, well, we have the best players.
But what he said, and I thought was right, if you're the NCAA, like he was saying, like he's talked to legal people and they're telling him all this information. If you're the NCAA, don't fight it. Come up with a system to adjust to it. Like, make the best of the situation and figure out how to make this work for everybody across your governing body, because you don't want a situation where the California D1 schools, hey, you can make money over there, athletes, but you can't in the state of Ohio or you can't in Alabama. I would think that might be a situation where you could have some discrepancies or disparities in your Division I institutions. 803-0550 to join us. Paul Hamilton checking in at 7:30. The Sabres will be reporting for training camp today, believe it or not. Sal with us at 8 o'clock for a little Bills talk and fantasy football advice at 9:30. Scott Pianowski is back from Yahoo Sports for another season. We're excited to have him back. So make sure you listen in at 9:30 for your fantasy football advice. It's all coming up on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Tale of three quarters and one quarter. I mean, they've got the win, and I mean, I think they have to be excited that Josh Allen and the offense just flipped that switch. And I mean, John Brown working one-on-one with any cornerback he faced, that's something that can stick. You could just see the Jets were terrified of getting beat deep, and he beat them deep anyways. And Devin Singletary, I mean, he's got to be the number one. You've got to feature him more. But can't just skim over the four turnovers in the first half, and it was skittish. There was no rhythm. A lot of the problems that you saw in Josh Allen as a rookie, just stuff that if it lingers, they're not going to pull out those kind of wins.
This is Tyler Dunn. He was on with Schopen the Bulldog yesterday. If you missed the interview, it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. The Bills practiced yesterday. Not everybody did, but the injury list is relatively short. Andre Roberts still not practicing due to the quad. Taron Johnson, the hamstring, and Jordan Phillips sat out practice yesterday due to an illness. Tyler Kroft was limited yesterday due to the foot. The notable name on the Giants list of did not practice is Sterling Shepard. He is in concussion protocol. The Jets wide receiver Quincy Enunwa is out for the rest of the season. He suffered a neck injury in the loss to the Bills. So he's out. That's one of the reasons why they traded for Demaryius Thomas the other day. Chargers tight end Hunter Henry is injured again. The poor guy is always hurt. This time it is a fractured kneecap, and he's out 4 to 6 weeks.
That hurts my guillotine league team, by the way.
Oh, that's not good.
Hunter
for
Henry.
You.
Oh.
Yeah, that's just not.
He was my tight end number one.
You're on thinner ice than you were.
It's two straight days of broken kneecaps, huh? Christian Yelich and then Hunter Henry?
Yeah. Although I don't think Henry fouled a ball off his kneecap.
No.
Same deal, yeah. Hunter Henry, so he's out. Hey, former UB Bull Anthony Johnson signed on by the Chargers to their practice squad. They might need a receiver because Mike Williams is dealing with some knee soreness, apparently. The woman who accused Antonio Brown of sexual assault will reportedly meet with the NFL next week. And your football game tonight is Tampa Bay at Carolina. Kickoff around 8:20, I think. Anyway, we'll have it on WGR. The Sabres report today for testing and physicals. Yanks Detroit postponed last night. The Mets beat Arizona. Those are your headlines. 803-0550 to join us this morning.
Sabres to camp today?
Today. Just testing and physicals.
Testing. First practice tomorrow. First game Monday.
Yeah. Yay!
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least I don't have to worry about your preseason pledge, but the preseason, NHL preseason, is relatively painless and goes fairly quickly.
It's quick. It's busy. It's fast. Yeah. Half the team is in the lineup one night, half the other night.
And they're just rooting
against injuries.
Yeah, they're gradually send guys down. Go ahead, Brayton. Yep.
I just wanted to also get in your headline sponsor, by the way. It was brought to you by Northtown Mazda. Get to Western New York's number one Mazda dealer for great deals on the CX-5, Mazda 3, Mazda 6, or the 7-passenger CX-9. Shop online at northtownmazda.com. Northtown, the official automotive dealership of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, you get through this preseason schedule fairly quickly. At some point, right, guys start going back to juniors, or they go down to the Amherst camp, so at least I will give the NHL credit for that. They don't belabor their preseason. They get right into it in a few days. You play your, what, I think it's 6 to 8 games somewhere. You're required to play 6 to 8 games somewhere in that mix. You
six
get them
games
done in
six. Year.
Is it just six? Okay, I thought it was 6 to 8.
Nope.
Okay, six.
Six.
Perfect.
Four of them will be on TV on MSG. Okay. Two of them will be streaming online for local people here in Buffalo.
And you know where they'll all be on the radio?
Right here on WGR.
There you go. Shameless self-plug. So we're talking Bills football, of course. Anything else on your mind? We were talking a little bit about the California bill that is passing and how this might impact the NCAA. If there's anything else you want to get to, that's fine. 803-0550 to join us, or 888-550-2550, and we'll be chatting with Mitch Morrison in a few minutes. We'll see how the Bills' offensive line is coming along and talk about their success in Week 1 and their matchup coming up in Week 2 against the New York Giants.
Right now, the Patriots to go 16-0 are 10-1.
Well, they're going 8-0.
10-1. Okay. I like that bet. Not the whole kit and caboodle, but just 10-1. To do the whole thing is 20-1.
Should it be? I know they've. Shouldn't it be more than 10-1? It's still hard to go 16-0.
I mean, have you seen their schedule?
I don't know.
Have you seen them play?
They should be at least 8-0. Should be. But I would want better odds than 10-1. But yeah, okay, sure. I think they've got a good shot at it. So I will, I would drop some money on that. But I'm not actually betting real money.
I'm just looking at some of the week two prop bets and lines, which are kind of funny. Some of them are fun. Like the Rams and Saints play this weekend. Hmm. Will they show the missed pass interference call during the broadcast? No is plus 300. That's the worst bet you could possibly make.
They're
going
to show it.
They're definitely going to show it.
It's the Rams are already being asked about it this week in preparation for Sunday's game. Of course they're going to, and I'm sure the Saints are going to be asked about it.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to show it.
So anyway, lots of stuff in here on the offensive rookie of the year. Devin Singletary started out on the board third, by the way.
Hey, was there?
I'm sorry, he wasn't third. He was 8-1 to start, which was fourth. Hmm. So he's the fourth best bet to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's currently tied for third, behind only Kyler Murray and Josh Jacobs, and tied with Hollywood Brown.
Are there odds for Miami to go 0-16?
Ooh, let me see if I can find that.
Let me pull up there. I was going to do this yesterday, and I never pulled up the Dolphins schedule to see what are the chances. Odds are I would not expect them to do that, but they're really bad already. Maybe they'll trade some more people. And I absolutely could see them going 0-6 in the division. The crossover is the NFC East. They're not going to win at Dallas. Where could the Dolphins? They got to go to Pittsburgh.
Washington.
They got to go to Indy.
They host Washington.
Washington at home out of the bye on October 13th.
Then
That's
they
a good
go
one.
To Indianapolis in November. The Giants. Oh, they play the Giants on December 15th. In New York.
Hey, that could be the first pick in the draft or one of the top picks in
Tank
the draft.
Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. I think those are your two best bets, right, for Miami. The possibility of 0-16, I think, exists. And those are probably your two best bets in terms of Miami finding a victory this season. And the game against Colts is on the road, and the Colts played well against Los Angeles the other day. Maybe Brissett does okay this season. But, Miami's schedule is, how about this? The next three games, Patriots, Cowboys, Chargers. So they're 0-4 with Washington coming in on October 13th. That's their first shot at a win. Then they come here and go to Pittsburgh. So if they lose to the Skins, you're looking at a solid 0-7 start for the Miami Dolphins. You take the Patriots at 10-1. I'll take some money and put it on the Dolphins.
Does that undo their perfect season in any way?
No.
No?
No.
Does it nothing? Doesn't have a little stain on it.
Well, the guys in the perfect season pop champagne at the first win this year for Miami. So they avoid 0-16.
Possibly.
I wonder if they do that. No, I don't think
But they
it
wouldn't
does.
Be the only team to go 0-16. It's happened twice before, right? The Lions and the Browns have both
Lions
done
did,
it.
I was trying to remember. I know
the Lions were the first.
Browns? I thought the Bucs did it. No? Did the Bucs not do
not
it?
Not in a 16-game
okay.
season.
Okay.
We've had some close calls.
Yeah. I don't think it doesn't do anything in terms of their history and their 14-0 year and all that stuff. But I don't know. I feel like you go 0-16, you should probably give an extra first-round pick. I mean, that's really saying something. If you blow up your roster and you tank, you rebuild, whatever you want to call it, to the point where you actually could go 0-16, that's doing your job, baby.
Sure is.
If you're trying to bottom out and get the high picks,
making sure you're picking first.
You don't have to worry about a ping pong ball and a lottery. You're getting the first pick.
Yep.
We are getting you ready for the Bills and the Giants on Sunday. We're going to our Wester Hotline, and we're joined by the starting center of the Buffalo Bills, Mitch Morse, who's going to be with us for a few minutes here. Mitch, it's Howard and Jeremy. First of all, thanks for coming on with us this morning. Welcome to the show.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me on. Thank you.
You bet. Our pleasure. So, Mitch, as you know, the offensive line, the new look and all that stuff was a big story in the preseason. How would you assess the performance of the O-line after game number one? How'd you think you guys did?
I think there's a lot to improve on. But, I think every team's saying that after week one. It's exciting, the opportunity we have and the potential we have, but there's just a few too many mistakes that put us in kind of a rut early on. And, I feel like, you just can't be complacent with where we are. But, we really love the group of guys we have, and we're proud to play with each other. And that's an exciting thing to do.
Did you get a sense, and maybe you could say the same thing as the offense overall, but for sure with the line, Mitch, like you mentioned, some blocking issues, some penalties, some issues in the first half. But it seemed that you guys got better as the game went on.
Yeah, I think, in this first game of the season, defenses are throwing stuff at you that you haven't seen before. You're so amped up to play the game, and then by the second half, you've already started to kind of hit a groove. And for us, that was hugely important. And I'd say our performance in the second half was much better than the first.
When it comes to the line, we always hear about, you know, coaches, players talk about a line needs time to gel. Specifically, Mitch, what does that entail? What are some of the areas when you talk about trying to get a five-man unit together and play as a group? What does it entail? What are some of the areas of line play that are important in terms of that gelling, that coming together?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think communication, how each person communicates, how they relay information, and then just certain blocking schemes and techniques. How one guy kind of focuses on a block or attacks a block, and how you can either complement that or understand that, you know, this guy's strength is my weakness, or maybe my strength is his weakness, and we can help each other out.
Your relationship with Josh Allen, let's talk about that too. In addition to the line trying to get that, you know, that chemistry, you're also trying to develop a working relationship with the young quarterback. How is that coming along?
That's great. I mean, he's an easy guy to talk to. He's an easy guy to be around. Extremely competitive, loves the game of football, and just gets better every day. I mean, it's the same for, you know, every great football player, is that you strive to get better every day, and that's what we're all trying to do. And he's just got a competitive edge. It's just fun to be around.
In terms of loving football, you got to love not just football, but the preparation. I mean, you guys are up early, they're long hours. You're typical. We asked Sean McDermott last week on Friday, "What's your Friday like, Mitch? What's the normal Thursday like? Are you guys to work pretty early and there pretty late?"
Yeah, you know, Thursdays and Wednesdays are a real big work days, especially Thursday. I mean, it's just one of those long days where you have to grind it out. You know, each day has certain installments in regards to situations that you can face in the game. And for us, Thursday is a big, heavy day for that. So, yeah, I think get there early. I mean, I'm driving to work right now, and then leave around 6 or 7. So, it's just work.
That's how it is.
I mean, everyone does it, and for us, it's just a little bit different in what we do. But putting in the hours is kind of, you know, you have some great days at work, and you have some, you know, crummy days at work, and you just try to stack better days over good days, poor days.
Are there some guys that do the, not necessarily specifically with the Bills, but in your time with football, there's some guys that do the work, and then there's some guys that almost seem to like Monday or Tuesday through Saturday just as much as they like Sunday?
Oh, yeah, I think, absolutely. I think guys who really do enjoy the process play good football. And some guys really love attacking the work week, practicing, putting together game plans, and then just competing. I mean, there's nothing quite like a game day, to be honest, going out there. But there is something to putting together a good few days of practice that does lead to good games.
How, if you could give any insight to us on this, how is Cody Ford coming along from what you can tell? I know you're busy kind of playing center.
No, first of all, he's a good dude. First and foremost, good guy, loves football, and is playing at a fairly high level for a guy who's just been in the league a few months. So, but more importantly, he's a good guy to be around and a good teammate, and that goes so far in being a good football player.
Mitch Morse, Bills Center, with us here on the Western Hotline.
He's also, my first impression, Mitch, I mean, you're a big guy, but first time I saw Cody Ford at training camp, I thought it was one of the most giant human beings I've ever seen. He is a monster.
Yeah, he's a big dude now.
I wanted to ask you to go back for a second, Mitch, to Josh Allen. Can you give us a little insight? Things aren't going well. You're down 16. The offense is moving the ball, but there were turnovers that were really hurting. What was and then you guys have the big comeback, and you put together the back-to-back touchdown drives and win the game. Can you talk a little bit about what you saw from Josh in terms of leadership? Was there, you know, composure? How was he handling things when you guys were down, you know, by 16?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was just poise, the way he carried himself. You know, when the highs weren't too high and the lows weren't too low for Josh. And when you come into a huddle, and you know, there's some real parts of the game where stuff's not going well and momentum's not going your way. And it's how you compose yourself. And the way Josh composed himself in that huddle, it is, it was infectious. You know what I mean? And all great quarterbacks can do that. And they come in the huddle, and no matter what's going on, they you find a way, even by them just relaying the player information, the way they do it, the way they handle themselves in there, you know, it's just infectious. So for us, I was extremely impressed with how he handled that, and he really did bring us all along on that kind of calm and collected second half.
Well, congratulations on the win last Sunday, and good luck in the same stadium this Sunday, and thanks for coming on the show with us this morning, Mitch.
I appreciate you guys. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Mitch Morse, Bills Center on our West Her Hotline, getting ready for work. A long day of work at One Bills Drive as they get ready for the Giants on Sunday.
He's got a lot to do. He's busy. I was thinking, you know, off season maybe. The age-old question is who can throw the ball farther, Josh Allen or Patrick
Mahomes. Yeah, right.
So, Mitch, if you're still listening, Mitch Morse should be the promoter.
He can get them together.
He can get bring these two to the table.
Yeah.
He'll snap the ball. And then we see Eves, and it's out there once and for all. Who can throw it farther?
We're talking pay-per-view. We're talking charged admission at the stadium.
I feel like whatever Mitch probably wants there is the play.
Okay.
He could promote it.
You raise money for a nice charity out of this. I'd go. I'd like to see it, actually. We talking trying to throw balls out of the stadium? Or just
we're going to go straight distance.
Goal line to goal line?
Then we can do some sort of trick throw.
Trick throw. Right? Mahomes just threw one out of the stadium, right? Didn't he do that? Was that this year? Did that?
Yeah. He did.
And Allen's faked it.
Allen
maybe?
Has talked about it.
Yeah. But he's never done it, right? They're worried about someone getting hurt.
Well, they're home in 10 days, right?
What's he did? Lead the charge and throw a ball
throw
out
a ball
of the stadium?
Out of the stadium. Run for a touchdown, throw it out of the stadium.
Yeah. Nice celebration.
I mean, right? Aren't we? Especially if they're about to go 3-0.
Yeah.
They beat the Giants. Someone told me that he thought about doing it last year. Or maybe, did he tell this story? Maybe it's the Tennessee game.
Yeah, I thought he told the story, and he was told not to do it.
Well,
no,
I don't know if he's been told not to do it, but there's some story that he scored a touchdown, and he was going to,
but thought
it wasn't the right time in the game.
Yeah, I thought
it shouldn't be done until they're sure.
Got it.
So I don't.
It was the Miami game where he looked like after the one touchdown he was going to throw it out, and then he stopped and just was like, wait.
Now there's a different. I think it's not Miami. Miami was the last game of the season. It might have been. Maybe he didn't want to rub it in against Miami. Maybe I thought it was Tennessee, but I don't know. Well, we'll see. I bet before he retires, he better throw a ball out of that stadium.
803-0550 to join us. WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bucks and Panthers tonight on Thursday Night Football.
Color rush?
No, I don't think so. The Bucks, by the way, as soon as they revealed those uniforms that they currently wear, had to know they were locking in being a bad team as long as they were going to wear them. They have do they have the worst uniform in sports? Yes, right?
What did they have? Did they go like these? Was it an all red thing? I'm trying to recall the highlights from Sunday.
I just mean every version of their current uniform.
You didn't like the creamsicle uniforms?
No, that's not current.
Well, but that you're saying, every current version.
Yes, the current uniforms that they wear.
I don't think the unis are that
bad. Oh, man.
You don't like them?
They're awful.
They're so bad.
Oh, you guys.
Really, who's
there's
worse?
There's a little color in there. Who's worse? Oh, I've never liked the Seahawks lime green or whatever call it. Neon, lime green, whatever
the Seahawks is not great, but it's better.
It's better than that.
It's better than the Bucs.
Like
not a fan
jerseys.
Of the Titans
I do
jersey.
Too. The Titans are better. It's fine. It's better than the Bucks.
You guys are hating on the Bucks too much.
The standard is better than the Bucks jerseys, and you can't find one.
Come on, look at that. I'm looking at a red jersey with a little gray on the top and on the sides.
With
alarm clock numbers.
And creamsicle highlights.
Hey, for a guy like me who wears glasses, like the big numbers.
You can make big numbers in a better font.
They're fine. You guys are wrong. These uniforms are not the worst in the league.
They can do much better.
Yeah, they're really bad. And they incorporate that creamsicle color that doesn't go with the other colors. Like, hey, let's put an you know, a tribute to our past here on the sleeve, and it's
was an ugly
really
orange.
Really bad.
Yeah, it was a pukey.
I don't mind
color.
That orange, but especially with the red and the pewter, it's even worse.
See, I like the red and the pewter.
Me too. You just can't have that orange in there.
Right. Well, it does. Right. But I like the red. I don't have a problem with the Bucs uniforms. I would pick the Seahawks uniforms as the worst, or the Titans uniforms as the worst. Or, well, now we're getting into the third uniform. I don't want to bring up alternate jerseys. Like the Steelers Bumblebee uniform.
Right, I don't like
that
those either.
That's hideous.
Those are bad.
I didn't think the Jets' new unis are good either. I like the Jets' old uniforms. I don't like the new ones.
Dolphins teal? How do you feel about the Dolphins?
It's not the worst in the league.
I would text her about the Dolphins teal.
Yeah, I wouldn't put them as
It's not great, but it's nothing's as bad as the Bucs to me. It's really bad.
Wow, I can't believe that. 803-0550 to join us. Let's get you some headlines this morning. The Bills injury report is out from Wednesday's practice. Taron Johnson, Andre Roberts, Jordan Phillips did not practice. Hamstring, quad, illness in that order. Tyler Kroft limited with a foot. Sterling Shepard is in concussion protocol, did not practice for the Giants yesterday. Quincy Enunwa is out for the year. The Jets wide receiver has a neck injury. Chargers tight end Hunter Henry out 4 to 6 weeks with a kneecap injury. Tampa Bay and Carolina tonight will have the game on WGR, and the Sabres report today for testing and physicals. Paul is going to join us at 7:30 to talk a little bit more about that.
When we get back, let's talk about Pat Shurmur's comments about Josh Allen, potential bulletin board material.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.